A new type of study, and we're going to get into it here, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and we're going to begin here. The Lord just impressed this upon my heart. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you. How many has God begun a good work in? Notice what he wants to do with that work that he began. He said he will perform it, or he will continue it, until the day of Jesus Christ. How many know that God will be working in your life until Jesus comes? And when Jesus comes, your body is going to be transformed. Amen? So the work that God has begun will be completed, will continue until Jesus comes. So God expects the work that he's doing in your life to go on, doesn't he? Since Jesus hasn't returned yet, but he will, when will he return? You just better be ready. So you better live and walk in a state of readiness. And God has begun something in each and every one of us. All right? And this series that I want to talk about beginning tonight is going the distance. Amen? I want you to finish your race with joy. You know, I want you to cross the finish line. I want you to accomplish God's will for your life. I want you to reach your destiny. I want you to achieve your goals. Anybody have any goals that they want to accomplish, that they want to see done in your life? And I want you to finish your race, not barely making it, but with joy. Yes. Amen? Yes. Where you can look back and you can confidently say, he's telling us to be confident in the work that God began and the work that God's going to finish, and it's him performing it. So he began it, he's performing it, and he'll finish it. You just get along for the ride. Amen? Yes. Now, no, we do have a part to play. And we're going to learn how we can go the distance, how we can accomplish what God has for us. And I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13 here. Because he gives a parable, then he gives the meaning of the parable. Because the people who he spoke the parable to were the crowds of people, and they might have not gotten what he was saying, but the disciples, when they were alone, when they were in that intimate setting, they said, "What does this mean?" How many know that if you hear something and you don't understand it, God will explain it to you if you ask him? Amen? Or the Holy Spirit will bring you into truth. You know, you'll get some more things out of it. And in verse 13, he said, "And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" So apparently this parable that he gave is a key to understanding all the parables that Jesus spoke. Verse 14, "The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, Now pay attention to this next phrase. And so endure but for a time. In other words, that's saying to me that there was a reason why their time was cut short. And we're going to see some things that hinder us from finishing our race. Okay? And so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Well, if something is unfruitful, that means it's not progressing, isn't it? That means it was supposed to produce fruit, but something came in that hindered the production of the fruit. It hindered the progress. It stopped the movement or the momentum. Okay? Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and what? Bring forth fruit. What does God have in mind of every seed? Every seed has within itself the ability to increase. Amen? Even weeds. Now, none of us have ever planted weeds, right? But they come up, don't they? Some even have enough force to come up through concrete. But God designed every seed to increase and to multiply, right? Let's just take, for example, you plant a corn seed. A farmer plants a corn seed, one corn seed, right? How much is that one seed going to produce? 2 or 3 ears on a stalk, right? And on each ear, there's several hundred kernels. So that one seed multiplied itself when it was planted because, see, and guess what? Your life is a seed. God planted his word in you. You are God's garden. You are God's greenhouse. Okay? And God wants his seed to increase and to progress in your life. He has a destination for you. You came to this earth, but God has a divine destiny for you. He has a plan. He has an assignment. He has a task that he wants you to fulfill. Say, God's chosen me to be fruitful and productive in life. And you know, God expected a return on the talents that he gave people, didn't he? How happy was he when he didn't get a return? The person who didn't bring a return was called a wicked and slothful servant. God expects a return on his investment. And what he has invested in all of us, he has invested the greatest seed ever, and that is his word. Within his word, we have the ability to succeed. We have the ability to gain strength. We have the ability to not fail. Does God's word fail? No. So, what are some things? Okay, we see here that there are four types of ground. And do you notice that each ground affects the results of the seed? Do you realize that the seed came to each of these grounds? But the type of ground that it was determined the results that the seed got. Same seed, different ground. Okay? And we're going to look at these four types because this is important. This is the foundation. Within this parable are hindrances to us getting to where God wants us to be. Okay? And let's just name these grounds. There is the wayside. Okay? Seed fell along the wayside. That is ground that was not broken up. Now, if you throw a seed on ground that's not broken up, is that likely going to produce a harvest? No, because the seed that's sown by the wayside, they have the shortest endurance. The weed on the wayside is there until someone takes it away, whether a bird or an animal. You know, we went to Lake Tobias yesterday, and it's amazing how when the animals come up right to the truck and you can feed them, you throw it on the ground, and what you throw on the ground disappears because they consume it quickly. But it's pretty awesome to have deers and their antlers come right up to the truck. It was pretty cool. So this wayside has the shortest endurance because it lasts only as long as the seed stays on the surface. But it never produces anything. Okay? Because ground wasn't broken up. In other words, ground wasn't prepared to receive the seed. It never got into where it needed to be to grow. Okay? It didn't get below the surface. It was trodden down, it was picked up, and it was devoured. What happened to the seed that was sown by the wayside? Who came? And when did he come? Immediately. The minute that the word was sown, there was Satan, because the word didn't get in, he was able to steal it. You know, a thief can steal things that aren't in a vault. Right? If you put money in a vault, the thief is less likely to get access to it, and they can't steal it because it's in the vault. But if it's laying outside the vault, the thief has easy access. Okay? So, when a word is on the wayside, it's just on the surface. It does not penetrate the heart. It has no impression on the life. It is loosely laying on the surface. And it's easy pickings for the devil. Now, the devil is a thief. His sole purpose now is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he will steal if he can. Okay? And when we hear God's word and it doesn't impress our heart, it doesn't get into our life, we could lose it. And if the word doesn't get into your heart, it will not affect your life. It will not bring about change. It will not release God's power. Because just like any seed, a seed has to get in. It has to get in. And really, the ground is your heart. Okay? See, word that lays on the wayside is they heard it, but they don't understand it. And if you don't understand it, how many know if you don't understand something, you can't use it? If you don't know how to start the lawnmower, you can't use it. I remember a long time ago when we still had VCRs. And they used to have these tapes, these VHS tapes. One of my teachers, they had bought this VCR. And they wanted to plug it in and use it. But the instructions on how to set it up were only in Chinese and Arabic. And the person didn't speak Chinese and the person didn't speak Arabic, so the instructions on how to set this thing up was useless. See, when you don't understand what God is saying to you, when you don't understand what God has put in you, you will lose it. And when we don't understand, it's like just laying on the surface. Okay? We're going to get a little bit more into the wayside in just a little minute. The next ground that he talks about is stony ground. Okay? They hear the word and receive it immediately with joy. It's like you hear a word, you go, woohoo, yeah, all right, bring it on. You get excited about what you hear. But notice, stony ground, they don't have any root in themselves. If you don't have root, you don't have fruit. A tree with no roots cannot produce fruits. What does a root do? A root nourishes the tree. A root reaches out from where it was planted to find the water. And the root system, it reaches out. And the bigger the tree, the more elaborate and the more deeper the root system. Amen? Roots are underneath. We have to have roots in ourselves. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. See, when tribulation and persecution come for the word's sake, they stumble or they get offended. You ever know anybody that got offended? You know, offense will hinder your endurance. Offense will get you off course of your destiny. When you get offended, it really puts you off your end. You have an end, but when you take offense, you're getting off that end. In other words, you lose sight of your destiny. You lose sight of your goal. Rocky ground doesn't have much earth. It has a little bit of dirt, and then underneath the little bit of dirt is a hard surface. So water and roots can't penetrate because it's hard. Anybody know, everybody? Have you ever met anybody with a hard heart or a hard head? People with hard heads, what do you have to do? You have to tell them things, what? Several times. You might have to tell them 10 times like you've told them just the first time. Why? Because they're hard-headed. And a person that is hard, it takes several blows to break up that ground. Just because you hit one hit with a sledgehammer doesn't mean that rock's going to break. It may take a few hits. But how many know that the word is like a hammer? The word knows how to break up hard ground. Okay? So this hardness prevents the roots from sinking down. And rocky ground lacks moisture, or stony ground lacks moisture. It means that someone, they received the word, but tribulation. Everybody say trouble. Say, I will have trouble in life. If you haven't had trouble yet, you will. Even Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, but be of good cheer. When trouble comes, you need to be of good cheer. A person with a strong root system can rejoice even in the midst of trouble. We learned on Sunday, what was Jesus doing in the storm? Sleeping. Why? Because he had a strong root system that even when a storm came along, couldn't shake him, couldn't break him, couldn't move him. He wasn't moved by the storm. He actually moved the storm. Are you letting the storm move you, or are you moving the storm? It depends on how strong your roots are. Anyway, just a little side note. So when persecution or tribulation come in other words, they give up their belief. They give up their belief in the truth that they just received. When outside circumstances come in, they give up their belief system. In other words, they stop believing. They doubt. Because they're stony ground. And to have no root in yourself, it means you have no depth of conviction. You haven't developed. It means you're weak, and then when outside circumstances come in, it kind of crushes your house. They lack firmness. There's no stability. There's no endurance. They can only last for a short time. But we're not talking about lasting a short time. We're talking about going the distance. We're talking about crossing the finish line, not just being in the race. Yeah, I was in the marathon. I ran 10 miles. But a marathon is, what is a marathon, 20? 25. I am not a marathon runner. Although, when I was younger, I did run a 4-mile race. I'm not much of a runner. I can walk and I ride the bike, but running, that's why I was never a running back. I was a center, didn't have to run much when I played football. So they have no roots in their heart. All right, let's go to the next ground. I want you to notice that the word came to all of these. But the ground determined the results. What you do with the word of God that you hear will determine the results that you get. Okay? The third type of ground, they were sown among thorns. They heard the word, but they allowed something else in. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires or lusts for other things. In other words now, they allowed the word to come in, but these other things, you know, when you allow the word of God to come into your heart, it's like the word is driving the car. But then you stop and you pick up the cares of the world, and you give cares of the world the driver's seat, and now the word has the passenger seat. Then you pick up another thing called the deceitfulness of riches. And now the word that you had is not driving. It's not in the passenger seat. It's the back seat. Then you pick up desires for other things and you kick the word out. How many know that a lot of people don't endure because the word has second place to other things? How many know that that's not what God wants us to do? That's going to hinder us from getting to our destiny, isn't it? Listen, God has to be your number one priority. And that includes the things that God is into. Amen? Jesus, when he was 12, he had a revelation. He was away from his parents for 3 days, and his parents didn't know it because Joseph thought Mary had him and Mary thought Joseph had him. And when they both realized that Jesus wasn't with them, where was this 12-year-old? He wasn't at the playground. He wasn't at the swimming pool, but he was in the temple. And the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were taken back. And at 12 years old, you know, Mary came in and said, "Jesus, where have you been?" "I must be about my Father's business." Jesus made his Father's business a priority above everything else. Everything else took a back seat to what God wanted. If God wanted something, that was number one priority. But people who are sown among thorns, they allow the cares of this world. They begin to worry. Say, "I don't worry." Worry is a form of fear, and you don't have fear in your DNA. If you could change things by worrying, then I would encourage you. But the Bible says don't worry, so I'm not going to encourage you to worry. We've all worried about something. Has it changed that thing? No. All the worrying we did didn't make a hill of beans. What does God tell us to do with our cares? Cast them to him. Say, "Jesus, this is too much for me. You need to handle it." When a bill comes in the mail, you need to say, "Jesus, you got a bill?" Isn't he your provider? Isn't he your source? But what do we do? We get a bill. How are we going to pay this? What are we going to do? Oh, my goodness. Stop that. You are sowing among thorns. What do the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things, they choke the word. They make the word unproductive. They stop the progress of the seed. How many know if you stop the progress of a seed, the seed's not going to produce the harvest that it was intended? In other words, when you're sown among thorns, you have a life that hasn't been cleaned. I have a spot in my backyard. It is a weed garden. Because I didn't plant it there, but the weeds have taken over. Really? I mean, I'm not much of a gardener in that way anyway, but I see these weeds, they smother the plants. They take the life and the water of the good plant, and they literally suck the life away from the good plant to themselves. They exclude the light and air. They draw away moisture and the richness of the soil. Hence, it becomes unfruitful. Your original intent was for that plant to be fruitful, to either look beautiful or produce something. But now that the weeds have taken over, it stops the original intent. It was designed to do something different, but now the weeds have taken over, it takes on a different nature. In other words, those among thorns, you know, a care of this world is to be anxious, unrelaxing. It's anxious, unrelaxing attention to business of this present world. Are you paying more attention to whether or not you're going to eat or where you're going to live or how you're going to do this or that than you are with God? Didn't he say, you know, the Gentiles of this world, they seek for this thing, but if you seek me first, I will add these things to you? And the deceitfulness of riches are those riches which are the fruit of the worldly care. You know, a poor person can have the deceitfulness of riches. It really has to do with covetousness and greed. How many know there are a lot of people who don't have money but covet money? Now, God doesn't mind you having money. How do I know that? Because Abraham was very rich. Solomon was rich. David was rich. Jehoshaphat was rich. Jesus had a treasurer. And now, you don't have a treasurer if you're poor. Amen? If you're poor, you don't need a treasurer. So obviously, Jesus wasn't poor. If you're going to have a traveling ministry, you're going to have some money behind you. I remember one time, Billy Graham's first crusade, he was doing it out in L.A. It cost $25,000 for the entire crusade. Guess what? He had to get that money from somewhere. Amen? So these thorns, it's difficulties, hardships, troubles, they choke the word. All right? Then we finally get to the good ground. Say, I am good ground. What signifies or what qualifies good ground? Three very simple things. Good ground, they hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. Say, I hear the word. I accept it. When you accept the word, you allow it into your life. And I bear fruit. Say, I bear fruit. And do you know that even good ground can produce fruit at different levels? Some can produce 30, some 60, or some 100-fold. But the point of good ground is you are bearing fruit. You are progressing. You are productive. There is increase. Okay? It is this good soil. This good soil is really the reverse of all the other three. All the other three were soil, but what they did with the word didn't produce the results that was necessary because they allowed other things in. Okay? So even a good ground is a heart that is soft and tender. It is stirred to the depths. How many know the Bible says for us to stir ourselves up? Stir up the gift of God that is within you. There are times in your life when you need to stir up the gift of God. You need to remind yourself who you are, whose you are, and what you have been given. You need to call yourself what God calls you. You need to call those things that be not as though they are. If every time you look at your checkbook and you see a zero balance, call your checkbook a positive balance. You know, when God saw darkness, he didn't say, "My, how dark it is." He said, "Light be." He didn't even talk about the darkness. And what happened? He changed the darkness by what he said. So your good ground is when you hear the word and you accept it. You receive it into your heart. You receive it into your life. And now you start to practice it. A good tree bears good fruit. What about a bad tree? A bad tree bears what kind of fruit? Bad fruit. Say, I'm a good tree. I produce good fruit. There are people who hear, they understand, they're sincere, and they appropriate the message that they hear. They go and they begin to apply it to their lives. They begin to apply their lives to it. And a change occurs. And they start to see things happening. And even when Satan tries to attack, they resist him. Amen? Listen, when Satan attacks, you certainly don't want to participate with him. You want to resist him. Okay? Now, there are seven things in this passage of Scripture that hinder us from going the distance. Number one, they are Satan stealing. Satan is a dirtbag. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the lord of flies. He's the dragon. He's a badden. He's the destroyer. Okay? And the good news is Ephesians 4 tells us don't give place to the devil. So if the devil has come in your life, he can only come by invitation. He cannot just enter your life because he feels like it. He has to get you to give him permission. How do you give him permission? We give him permission when we sin. We give him permission when we're negative. We give him permission when we lie. We give him permission when we don't obey God. We give him permission when we resist the Holy Spirit. All those ways, there's lots of ways that we can give Satan permission in our life to come and steal, kill, and destroy. So the number one thing that will hinder you from going the distance is allowing Satan to steal in your life. Through Jesus Christ paid the price. He defeated the enemy. He made a show of him openly. He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. What more does he have to do? He has given you the authority. You can tread on serpents and scorpions, which are representative of Satan's kingdom. The second thing that will hinder you from going the distance is having no root in yourself, not developing spiritually, not growing in the knowledge of God, not learning more about what God has created you for, of your calling and of your assignment, and, you know, just not, you know, just kind of taking us, listen, there's no such thing as a bench warmer in the kingdom of God. Everybody has a part, everybody has a place, everybody has a function. Whether you're young, whether you're old, God's got something for you. I mean, look at Samuel. After he was weaned, what did his mother Hannah do? She sent him to the temple. And there he lived out the rest of his life. And she would come and visit him once a year. How'd you like to make that sacrifice? After you wean the baby, you give him to the Lord. But what did Samuel do? Samuel became a mighty man of God. The Bible said that none of his words fell to the ground. He established a school of the prophets. And, you know, he produced fruit. He anointed the first king. He did great deliverance from Israel's enemies. But you got to have root in yourself. You got to develop. You got to grow. You got to dig deep. You cannot be easily moved by external circumstances or your feelings or the opinions of others. You have got to know your God. You've got to walk in God's knowledge. You've got to walk in who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to be confident in what God is doing in you. Say, God has a plan for me. The third thing that will hinder us from going the distance is tribulation or trouble. How many know that Satan is a troublemaker? But how you respond in trouble. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, John 16:33, but he said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said in 1 John 4 that he who is in you is what? Greater than who? He that is in the world. The Holy Spirit in you is greater than the troublemaker. He's smarter than the troublemaker. He can help you avoid every trap that the troublemaker sets. And the Holy Spirit in you will frustrate the plans of the enemy. But how you deal with trouble will determine whether or not you go the distance. How you respond in trouble, what you say in trouble, what you do in trouble. Listen, trouble's going to come. So you listen, why do you think God gives you peaceful times? To prepare for trouble. You can't prepare for, you can't build an army when you're attacked. Right? You better have been building the army before you're attacked, right? You know, if a professional sports team never trained, if they never scouted, if they just grabbed a bunch of guys and went to the field, how successful do you think that they will be? But isn't that what we do as Christians a lot? We just want to throw stuff together. We don't want to train. But you know, Paul trained. He said, I train. I don't just beat the air. But I train. He said, I run to win. Say, I'm a winner. The fourth thing that will come against you to try to hinder you from going the distance is persecution. I want to tell you something. The Bible says persecution will come. So prepare yourself. Jesus said, the world hated me, and it will hate you. So if something hates you, it's not always going to get along with you. The Bible also said that a friend of the world is what? An enemy of God. What does it mean to be a friend of the world? It means that you buy into the world system. You think like the world. How many know that you're of a different kingdom? You are not of this world. You are just passing through. We are all resident aliens of heaven. And God gives you, your life is like a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. 70, 80, 90, 100 years, maybe more than 100. That's it. What are you doing with what God gave you? Are you accomplishing His will for your life, or are you doing your own thing? Anyway, the fifth thing that will hinder you from going the distance is the cares of this world. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for what? Say it again, be anxious for what? One more time, be anxious for what? Nothing. You mean you don't have to be anxious about anything? No. How do you avoid anxiety? You pray with thanksgiving. When trouble comes, you can pray. You can call upon the name of the Lord. He'll deliver you. He'll change the situation. And then if you want to keep peace, you got to control what you think on. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, just, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, this is just the introduction, by the way. And then the sixth thing that will hinder you from going the distance is the deceitfulness of riches. Do you realize that in Acts 5, Satan was able to influence Ananias to lie about his giving? And you can't pull the wool over God's eyes, and Peter was there and he said, Ananias, who put in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? What was the lie? He said that he sold land, but he said he was giving all the amount, but in reality he was keeping part of it. He was lying because he was covetous. Achan in Jericho, God said, don't take any of the money of Jericho. It's all going to go into the treasury. What did Achan do? He coveted. He took some of the money. What happened? He lost everything. Listen, when you give what God, when you give what's God's, He'll make sure that you have yours. But you got to give God's first. Amen? And then the seventh thing that we see here that will hinder you from going the distance is the desire or the lust for other things. In other words, God becomes secondary and these other things become primary. Other things. Anybody have other things come in? We all got other things, don't we? But sometimes you got to make a choice between this thing or that thing. Which has a greater priority? You know, in the body of Christ today, people think that going to church is an option, not a priority. It must be a priority. Why? Because the church is something, it's God's business. Amen? So, but these seven things, they'll hinder you from going the distance. But you know what? We're going to show you how to overcome each one of these. Amen? God's got a solution and an answer because He wants you to be, He's made you an overcomer. He's made you, He wants you to get to your destiny. God is so excited because He knew when He created you. He knew when He brought you into this earth that He had great plans for you. Oh, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God, listen, if any harm has ever occurred to you, that was not God's plan. He planned not to harm you and to give you an expected end. God expects you to reach your destiny. He expects you to fulfill His will for your life, whatever that is. And if you don't know what that is, you can find out. So, in this series on Wednesdays, we're going to raise up some champions who are going to go the distance. We are going to endure to the end. We are going to persevere. We aren't going to quit. We're going to go on. We're going to go on beyond the normal mark. And we are going to go the distance. Why? Because we are champions. You come from a champion bloodline. Amen? The Kentucky Derby is won by horses who have a champion bloodline in their veins. You have a champion's bloodline in your veins. You come from a championship mold. Christ is your example. With Christ, you can do anything. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's nothing you can't do because Christ is in you, strengthening you. There's no enemy too big that Christ can't overcome. Listen, when David met Goliath, he didn't say, "Oh my, look at that, how big he is." He said, "That uncircumcised Philistine." God will never praise your enemies. He won't even point out their strengths. Because God will let God arise and your enemies what? Scatter. The enemy, he'll run to you, but he'll run from you seven ways. You can resist Satan steadfast in the faith. So when he starts speaking lies to you, and he tells you garbage and junk and things that aren't true, they contradict God's word, you can say no. You can tell him to shut up in Jesus' name. Say, "Let me tell you, Satan, I'm a child of God. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm called, anointed, and appointed for a divine purpose." So we are gonna go the distance. So put on your running shoes. Because we're going to train hard. And we're going to learn how to overcome every one of these obstacles. Amen? Amen. Are you excited about what's coming?
Yeah, amen.
I am. And we're going to go into more examples of each one of these. I'm excited. Yeah. You know, because I heard earlier this week, you know, I was praying because I didn't really know what direction. And all of a sudden, I heard these words, "Go the distance." That's what God put on my heart. Go the distance. And you know, like God, he just put that on my heart, then I had to study. I'm like, okay, God, I'll go with this direction. And you know, there was Mark 4:17. They don't endure. And I said, that's it. The Holy Spirit bore witness. Listen, it doesn't matter how many times you've been defeated in the past. Guess what? Every defeat that you've encountered is under the blood. When it's under the blood, it's like it never happened.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because under the blood, all things become new. Old things what? See, under the blood, old things pass away. Old images pass away. Old enemies pass away. And God is about to do something new in you. You're about to encounter new ground. One small step for Christians. One giant step for Christianity. Amen? Why? Because God's going to take you to new heights. He's going to take you to greater depths. And on Sunday, we're going to begin a new series for August, Experiencing a Deeper Life. So on Sunday, I'm going to take you deeper than you've ever been. Amen? We're going to go deep sea fishing and catch some big things. Glory to God. We'll catch a big wave. Hallelujah. Stand up. And I want you to get your mind aligned with victory. Say, "The Lord always causes me to triumph. I am victorious. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm destined for great things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm a winner. I'm a champion. I'm gonna go I'm going to reach my goal. I'm going to be successful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 I just see some sacred cows just being fallen over right now. Glory to God. So we're going to learn how to go the distance. Amen? You're not going to quit halfway through. You know, even the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. For if you faint not, you shall reap. Hallelujah. God's got a harvest for every one of you. It could be a financial harvest. It could be a harvest in relationships. It could be a harvest of anything. Amen? But as we learn how to go to the distance, we're going to break through. I see a room full of record breakers. You're going to shatter your records. You're going to go and do more than you ever thought you could do in your life. Amen? And God's here to help you. He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit bring us into all truth about going the distance. Lord, help us to reach our destinies. Lead and guide and direct us. Correct our thinking. Change our lives. As we draw near to you, you draw near to us. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, I just want to give you the opportunity to come up and receive prayer. So if you're here and you need prayer, you need a touch from God, we'd love to pray for you if you need prayer.